Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, for sending him to the cross for us. Thank you for the reminder of the price that was paid on the cross. We pray that you speak to us through me, through your Holy Spirit. May your words come true and mean something to us, that we may walk out of here and change people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The verse or the passage that we're reading today is Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 27. It's really not your common Good Friday verse or passage, but I thought it was appropriate because what I would like to do, or what we would like to do, is try and answer the question, why did Jesus Christ die on the cross? Why was it necessary? Well, so let's get into this. Verse 19 in Romans chapter 3 says, now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silent and the whole world held accountable to God. Basically, it's saying the whole world is accountable to God under law. Question is, what is this law? Specifically here in Romans chapter 3, Paul is talking about the Jewish law, the Mosaic law, the law that was passed down to the Israelites through Moses from Mount Sinai. Basically, when it comes down to it, it's the Ten Commandments. We've heard that before. But then you might ask me, well, we're not Jews. We don't have the law. So how can we, who are not Jews, who did not receive the law, be held accountable? Well, you don't have to have the law to be held accountable. Romans 2:14 says, indeed, when Gentiles, who are non-Jews, who do not have the law, do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law. Basically, it says, you know what is right and wrong. You see, you don't have to be taught if someone comes up to you and lies to you that that's wrong. You know it's wrong when someone steals your wallet. You know it's wrong when you steal someone's wallet. You could justify yourself, well, I'm poor, or, you know, I need to feed my family. You can justify that, but deep down inside, you know that it is wrong. The law is written on your hearts. That's why the whole world is held accountable. The Ten Commandments, the Jewish law, gives us, and it is a standard for us on paper, for us to see and to measure up. Jesus Christ brought it further, and he explained the law more clearly. I'm going to read to you Matthew chapter 5, verse 27. And here Jesus Christ talks about murder. One piece of the law. He says, you have heard that it is said to people long ago, do not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. Fair enough. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother will be subject to judgment. He basically says, even if you think it, you have broken the law. Now, this makes sense because God doesn't only look at what you do on the outside. He also looks at what is on the inside. Because really, whatever we do on the outside is a manifestation of what's on the inside. So really, you have broken the law even when you have thought it. Now, I can bet you no one here can say that you haven't thought something like that. We all have broken the law, and we all will be held accountable. That is why it is said in verse 20, therefore no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Well, but you said, Well, Andy, come on. I'm really a good person. I'm a pretty good person. Well, good for you. You're a good person, but guess what? That doesn't cut it. You see, the law requires, or the law expects you to be good all of the time. Our own human laws work on that principle. It's not like you walk out of the bank and a cop comes up to you and says, "Oh, why, thank you for not robbing the bank. Here's 2 merit points." Or if you get pulled over, or if you graffiti someone's car, a cop comes up to you and says, "You just broke the law. You vandalized the car. But wait, let me check your record. You gave $200 to the church. Okay. You didn't rob the bank yesterday when you went in. You didn't lie to your friends. Oh, look, it adds up to more than the vandalism. Oh, by the way, you've got extra points, so here's $2. You don't expect that. You are expected to obey the law, to follow the law. However, if you break it the first time, the moment you break it, the law comes down on you. The same thing is with God's law. You can argue that you're good, but the moment you break it, the moment you think it, you have broken the law. And that is why no one is declared righteous. So what is the law there for? It says here in verse 20, rather, through the law, we become conscious of our sin. It's there to tell you, you really messed up. You have broken the law. No ifs, no buts. That's it. Now, verse 21 says, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law of the prophets testify. It's saying, wait. There's something else. You're guilty of the law, but that's a righteousness. Something else that was here in front of us all this while, and it's just kind of made known. So let's read on. Verse 22, this righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. So, it's saying, it's kind of unfolding out. It points to Jesus Christ. Now there's a separate righteousness through Jesus Christ. We go on, we get a glimpse of just that righteousness. Something to do with what Jesus Christ did. Verse 23, there is no difference, but all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We just established that. We established that you have sinned. You have broken the law. And are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Jesus Christ. Now it's starting to form up. The word grace is there, and the word redemption is in that verse. Grace, it's getting something we don't deserve. Redemption, the act to recover ownership through some form of payment, or to exchange. And it all points to Jesus Christ. There was a payment, there was a transaction that was done at the cross. It was grace, something you don't deserve, and there was a redemption. What are we redeeming? What is Jesus Christ redeeming here? Verse 25, God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. This is it. This is why Jesus Christ came to the cross. It's a sacrifice of atonement. But wait. Atone for what? Atone who? Did Jesus Christ have to atone for his sins? No, Jesus Christ was perfect. This question leads us back to your guilt of sin. See, we all establish we're all guilty of sin. Whenever there's an infraction that's made to the law, there is a punishment that comes. A law is not complete if there is no consequence attached to it. Now, I was born and raised in Malaysia. That's literally in Southeast Asia. That's literally on the other side of the world. If you travel there, either to Malaysia or Singapore, there's one law that you will be made very, very clear of. When you're in the plane, they announce it over the intercom before you land. When you get off the plane and you walk up, there's this big sign that is drug trafficking. Drug trafficking is severely prohibited in Malaysia and Singapore. It carries a mandatory death sentence. Let me say that again. Mandatory death sentence by hanging. You go up, and there's a box before you get to the customs. If you want to risk it, you could, but here's a box. You can put it in there. No questions asked. But when you are, and you will get caught, if you bring in illegal drugs, if you are caught, you can be tried, and you will be tried, and if your guilt is established, mandatory death sentence. You will be hanged. There is no judgment phase. There's no appeal for the death sentence. You might appeal the guilty verdict, but you will be hanged. You can't say, well, I'm against the death penalty. I don't agree with it. Too bad. You know, you can't say, I didn't know. Too bad. I didn't know it was there. I didn't put it there. You're guilty. The guilt demands judgment. It demands you die. Same thing with your sin. The judgment for sin is death. In verse 26, he did this, God. He did it to demonstrate his justice at the present time. That the picture of the cross, Jesus Christ's death on the cross, is a demonstration of the death that you and I were supposed to face. That is the judgment of sin. Jesus Christ's brutal death on the cross is what is required for sin. Verse 26. He did this to demonstrate his justice, because in his forbearance he had left the sins beforehand unpunished. He did this to demonstrate his justice. That's the second time, it says, right in those verses. He did this to demonstrate his justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus Christ. Essentially, Jesus Christ is on the cross because he died for you. See, there are two choices. You either can pay for your own sin, or now there's a different righteousness, there's a separate righteousness that Jesus Christ brought into the world. He took your sin and he paid for your sin so that you don't have to die that same death. God did not punish us first, so that he could punish Jesus Christ to show us. Number one, to show us how severe sin is, but also to show us how much he loves us, that he gave his only son to die on the cross for us. And that is why Jesus Christ is on the cross. We broke God's law. We deserve death, but Jesus Christ died in our place instead. So the question is, what is our response? Well, the first one that we see is in verse 27, that says, where then is boasting it is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No. But on that of faith. Well, where then is boasting? Do not boast of your position in Christ over someone else. Do not boast that you can do it on your own. Do not boast or do not feel, well, you know, I'm pretty good. No. Jesus Christ died on the cross for you. It's not of your own doing. It's not of your own works. You know, it's easy for us, especially living in America, we kind of, you know, get comfortable and say, well, you know, I'm a Christian. I'm pretty good. You know, I give to the church my tithe. You know, look at other people. Wow. You know, I don't go to the bars. I don't smoke. I'm pretty good. I kind of deserve this. No. You deserve nothing. You deserve death. Do not boast except that Jesus Christ paid on the cross for you. It is free to you, not of what you did. The second thing that we see that we can take out of this is really there is nothing you can do other than believing in Jesus Christ to erase your sin. Don't try. Your guilt has been established. Don't try. No form of meditation, no form of money that you can give, no form of works that you can do will erase that sin. And so, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ, and I'm speaking to those who haven't believed yet, if you have not accepted, I sincerely plead with you to consider that choice. You have two choices. You can either pay for your sins yourself, you can try it all on this earth, but you will stand in judgment and you will pay for it. The other choice is, God has already paid it for you through Jesus Christ. Now I sincerely hope you take Jesus Christ. Now, if you'd like to talk to me about it, or the elders would be here, if you think about it, God is tugging on your heart to make that choice. And even if He isn't, please talk to us. Because this is a matter of life and death. You might think, well, I can think about it later. Maybe not. God is only withholding His judgment to a certain time. You don't know when it's going to come. Don't work on it on your own. The price has already been paid. Take it. Now, we will be taking communion in a little while. And this is a perfect reminder of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us. Why He did it. It's a perfect reminder to jolt you and say, look, it is of your sins that we are here. It's of your sins that Jesus Christ died on the cross. He bled a brutal death just for you. Don't take that for granted. Don't boast in it. Accept that Jesus Christ did it for you. And if you haven't received it, take it. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We can but just get a small glimpse of how much You paid just to bring us back, just to atone us, just to redeem us back to You. The price You have paid in Your Son. Father, I just pray that if there's anyone here who have not received the gift of Jesus Christ, have not received Your gift for their sins, I just pray that Your Holy Spirit may just tug on their hearts and that they may turn to You and say, Lord God, I accept Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Father, may we not boast, forbid it, Lord, that we should boast, save in the death of Christ my Lord. Thank you for giving us emblems to remember Jesus Christ and the death he paid. Thank you for the celebration of Good Friday. Thank you that he rose from the dead again, that the payment is full, that we are free. Thank you for forgiving our sins through Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.